of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Veronica Clark. She is the author of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces, that came out in February of 2011, and Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment. She is a translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. Her most current book just released is Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. All righty, we have another question about waterboarding. Someone recently made the claim that Hitler and the Nazis used waterboarding as a method of interrogation. Now, I know from my own research that Americans began using waterboarding, particularly against the Filipinos, before the turn of the century. And of course, it was outlawed before that. But I think that the Americans are the only ones that I know of who use waterboarding as a method. What do you think?
I have not heard any direct references to waterboarding or any descriptions that would say waterboarding in particular, but there's one reference in, if I'm not mistaken, it's Gilles Perrault, The Red Orchestra, and a very, very good book. In spite of his red, he's very red. His Frenchman is totally pro-communist. In spite of that, so many details in there that really exonerate the Gestapo and the NSDAP big time. It's strange. But he said that really all the Gestapo had to do was turn on the faucet or turn on the water in a bathtub or something like that, and this one spy started talking. So they did something with water, if this individual isn't lying, which I suspect he's not, because, you know, most of the spies were actually pretty honest, believe it or not. Now, if they talk about being hit in the back with a spiked steel ball by Klaus Barbie in the spine, I assure you it's a lie. Because one woman did say that she was hit in the back with a steel spiked ball by Klaus Barbie. All the allegations against Klaus Barbie are false. So what they did with that water, I don't know, but it wasn't waterboarding.
It was something different. All right. Let's take another one. Let's take, okay. One of our listeners says Bill Gates is Jewish. His mother was on the board of IBM. And,
I think he is too. Just,
well, he looks
phenotype.
Jewish.
His phenotype sure looks it, at least part.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the, this is from Bob. The morons who send the vitriol to Veronica should listen to what Veronica has to say. Then they should get down on their knees and offer thanks to whoever or whatever they believe in that Veronica is offering up her best and, most importantly, honest efforts to disseminate the truth. Those same morons might someday find themselves in the same position as the commoners who cheered the killing of their landlords, only to later find out that they too are meant that they too meant less than nothing to the rulers. And that's from Bob.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. Yeah, I expect this kind of behavior from Jews, people like G. Phillips, who leaves all these nasty grams on my books, and people like Ethan Katz and whatnot. But I don't expect it from, you know, white nationalist types. It's strange. But yes, I hope they come to their senses. I really do.
Right. And okay, we have a break. We'll be right back, and we'll take some more emails if you want to send them.
Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, MEG, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne. Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Veronica Clark. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. And you referenced the article, and I just looked to see if I had linked it to today's date, but I will do that. That will explain how Hitler did it, how he created the essay, and the financing and all of that.
Okay.
Another comment, and this again from Joe. Germany was a nation of a high percentage of ethnic Germans, which could be given a united goal. America is now a multicultural society with everyone having their own agenda, which, of course, you referred to. And this is deliberate, and this was created with the immigration laws, and the Jewish people have always been in charge of immigration, have always promoted immigration, just so that this would occur, so that we would lack unity. And also so that they would be, they wouldn't be such a distinct group, but could, not that they assimilated, but they could at least hide behind so many other cultural groups.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend Joe read Affirmative Action Nation. It's available from Amazon about the Soviet Union. That'll tell you exactly what we've got going here, but just a little bit different. It's a bizarre dichotomy of we're going to encourage every minority group or nationalism to, like, you know, be itself and push its interests, but at the same time we're going to have a melting pot. It doesn't
right.
work.
Right.
It doesn't work.
And certainly this melting pot was also part of the art, part of the culture, part of the plays that people wrote, such as Israel Zangwill. Who wrote a play, I think it was called The Melting Pot.
Uh-huh.
And, let's see, Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt was a big fan of this play and also promoted this idea of a melting pot and heavy immigration. And he was also associated, and I'm talking about Roosevelt, was associated with B'nai B'rith, had very strong ties to that group.
Right.
So,
right. I mean, yeah, and what basically the Masonic founders founded is this whole E Pluribus Unum empire. Instead of going out and creating empire outside, they created empire right at home. It's basically importation of a multinational empire here. It's
correct.
It's an inverse imperialism is what it is. And if we start seeing ourselves as an empire in merely ethnic groups or nationalities in an empire, we can start adjusting our thinking as such, which needs to happen.
Right.
Americans are in a multinational empire right now.
Right. All right. Here's a comment from Brenda. And she says, it is cruel irony that troops travel to foreign lands to fight the enemy while the true enemy is within the borders of their own nation.
Yes. And this happens to empires that are imploding. Rome did the same thing before it collapsed. It was in a war everywhere. Everywhere wars, soldiers started revolting in the droves. That's how it happens. That's how the collapse comes. So it's just a sign of what's coming.
Sure. Alrighty, you were going to talk about the differences between fascism and communism and capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Let's just quickly go through some of these. Basically, we already went through the different principles that drive each. Terrorism versus, and that was communism, versus the profit motive, privatization of capital, fascism, national socialism, which is coercion and cooperation both. Hitler tried very hard to win over all groups and appease as many of them as possible. This was big business, agriculture, and the public. The workers. Capitalism doesn't really care. They care about corporations and make money. So the government is there to serve the parasitic element of the economy. Communism just kills everybody. I mean, this really and literally happened for a long time. They had to adjust their policies because it was collapsing. They'd over-terrorized. And one of the odd things about communism when it first started is they didn't offer cash wages for industry. So if you were working in industry, you didn't get a cash salary. Peasant crops were seized. So you just undermined the motive of both your peasants and your industrial workers. With fashion. Now that had to change. What happened is that was under Lenin, and that the whole entire collapse under Lenin resulted in the new economic policy. And after he died, there was another second revolution, and that brought Stalin in. So there were two experiments within the Soviet Revolution that happened. And Lenin was actually starting to go in the right direction. He was really loosening up a lot of the terror and the problems, and suddenly he dies. How convenient.
Well, he was murdered.
Exactly. So he's a mixed bag, in my opinion, too. I think that he started to wisen up a little bit. Basically, in the National Socialist system, of course, you had cash wages, and there were various means employed by the NSDAP to keep the workers and the employers both motivated. The only book I can recommend on it really is, I mean, Dan Silverman is Jewish and he really Hitler bashes, but Hitler's economy is good if you can tolerate his constant bashing of the NSDAP. And what he does is he tries to belittle and water down and obfuscate everything the NSDAP achieved economically and socially. So just keep that in mind. There are many books that address his flaws and his bias, but they're all out of print. They're all like really old Harvard studies from 1940. So Dan Silverman, Hitler's Economy, that'll tell you how Hitler actually did it. I covered a lot of his material in The Hyenas of High Finance and The Union Jackal. So Those two books do address a lot of this too. But basically, you've got to try to win as many different disparate groups as possible. So, you know, they had strength through joy. They had good pay for most people. In the voluntary labor service and whatnot, sometimes they couldn't, at least at first, they couldn't offer pay. And it was low pay for, like, the Autobahn workers. But that's because they were trying to give the maximum number of people jobs. And things were tight at first. So, you know, that's something that Silverman doesn't, he doesn't tell you that.
And he doesn't tell you why things were so bad that because of the international bankers, of which,
right.
You know, he was a co-religionist.
Exactly. So just know that Germany was operating under, like, no money. It was completely isolated.
Yeah. They had no gold reserves.
From scratch.
Yes. Didn't have anything.
Yeah. So Hitler did an outstanding job, yes. And Silverman's work does not discount that at all. Now, with capitalism, you have the free trade, which is really monopoly, invented by Britain. And the whole idea is to buy cheap, sell high, or sell dear, is how Lawrence Dennis puts it. And he's really the only one I can recommend, because every economist today who points out the problems with our system, such as individuals like Mike Whitney on, I can't think of the website. Is it Information Clearinghouse or something like that? He writes on there a lot. And maybe antiwar.com, he might have written on there. He points out the exact same things Dennis has already covered. And you can still get Dennis's book for, like, under $4. It's The Dynamics of War and Revolution. He lays out the entire case against capitalism. And it just, there's nothing I can say that's better than how he put it. So people should consult that.
Yeah, and that was published by the Institute for Historical Review. So
yes,
it is a good book.
Yes. Dennis was actually, I believe, a personal friend of Willis Carto. And he was in that whole thing. He was a revisionist. He just did different revisionism. He was more, like, focused on economy and anti-capitalism than, you know, Jewish persecution or whatever. But even Dennis got a load of Jewish business practice and banking because he worked for Seligman, which is like a New York or a Wall Street firm. That did it for him. And if you get the book by Gerald Horn, it's called The Color of Fascism. That is an excellent biography of Lawrence Dennis. It's outstanding. So, you know, that talks about his whole experiences with Seligman and company. He was a State Department man for a long time. He was disgusted by the way America operated overseas. And he said, this is all just a big hoax. You're not coming in here with Chiquita and trying to help these people in Ecuador and what. You're just exploiting them. This is nonsense. So he totally understood the workings there.
Sure.
And then, of course, with communism, banking, at least initially under Lenin, was under Soviets or workers' councils. So as far as I know, banking was not private under communism. And Simon Sebag Montefiore, who's also a Jewish historian, he writes about Stalin a lot. And he said that Stalin kicked the Rothschilds out of Russia. And he had apparently burned down one of their enterprises. So I'm not really sure what the relationship is between Stalin and the bankers, the private bankers. Certainly they funded him, but I think they ultimately had a falling out. And while they were supportive of communism as an ideology, they weren't supportive of Stalin and his plans.
Hey, Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. We've had some technical difficulties here. The RBN internet went down, and so I am on the telephone, and we are going to attempt to contact Veronica by phone. And so it might be a Skype issue. Hopefully we can get it straightened out here momentarily. But anyway, we were talking about, what were we talking about before we went to the break? We were talking about the difference between communism. We were talking about Stalin and that he had a falling out with the international bankers, and he tossed them out. It was my understanding that he was married to a Jew. However, as early as 1906, 1907, he did work for the Rothschilds at one of their refineries, and within a short period of time after he became employed in Russia by the Rothschilds. I see we're back online. There was a lot of there were a lot of problems. There were some fires and some he was in charge of thuggery. He was also in charge of bankrolling the small party. And okay, so we are back, and hopefully we can get Veronica back here momentarily. Okay, hang on just a bit here, and we'll get everything back going here.
All righty, and we're back online with Skype and off the phone. I'm hopefully everybody is coming on board here. Veronica, are you there? Nope. All righty. Well, that's a difficult situation. Like I said, I don't know whether it's Skype or what it is, but once in a while, Skype has that problem, and we do our programs via Skype. So anyway, hopefully we can, okay, the board operator is calling. And apparently it was the RBN internet at the station. So we will be getting a hold of Veronica via Skype momentarily. So this is interesting. All righty. Our guest today is Veronica Clark, and she is the author of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces and Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment. She is a translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. Her most current book just released is Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. And let's see if we have some questions here. Okay, we had people say, hey, your online just went silent. There's no sound. So hopefully everybody's back on track. And do we have Veronica back yet? Okay, we're still calling. Okay, and you're calling via Skype, correct? Okay. All righty, we were going to talk about Hitler's views on Christianity. And that is something that that people have, well, in fact, one person that I get a lot of email from is a person by the name of Skip Baker. And he has talked a lot about that. Okay, Veronica's back with us. Veronica, welcome back.
Thank you. I don't know what happened.
The internet just went down, and but anyway, we're back. And now we're ready to go to a commercial break, so we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Trance Behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Our guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. And you were going to talk today about Hitler's Christianity. Would you like
yeah,
to?
Yeah, okay, let's go ahead and just cut to that since yeah. since we got so much time cut out.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Germany, of course, as most of us know, had for centuries been divided between the two differing forms of Christianity, Protestantism and Catholicism. So we should keep in mind that this situation makes Hitler's public proclamations and private statements about Catholicism especially all the more pertinent, because why defend the one over the other, Protestantism, if one is, first of all, not Catholic, and two, not interested in maintaining religion, especially Christianity? Hitler could have done what Stalin and Lenin did and just wipe it out. So this is something that historians really struggle with, because in their efforts to paint Hitler as this black, horrible individual that hated Christianity and hated religion and terrorized the masses, it's not quite working out for them. So what they do is they go, oh yeah, the Vatican was evil, the churches were evil, they sold out to the NSDAP. That's how they get around that problem. So basically, we have to ask ourselves why Hitler felt obligated in public and in private, because he said the same things in private, to defend something he allegedly hated, didn't believe in, or didn't care about. And one can read numerous conversations he had dealing with not only Christ as a person or an entity, but the Table Talks and the Otto Wagner memoirs, but also just religion and spirituality generally. Hitler talked on those topics a lot. In fact, many of his secretaries commented that he was always talking about religion, and it made them bored, and they'd joke about it and fall asleep while he was talking late into the night. So, you know, again, why would somebody who'd brushed off his religion talk about it so much? It was constantly being brought up. This is something, you know, we need to ask ourselves. And in these conversations, Hitler defends a number of aspects of his own faith, Catholicism, the church, and spirituality in general. For example, he declared, and this is in the Wagner memoirs, Otto Wagner, and also Martin Bormann in the Table Talks, Christ's socialism is what he called it, first socialist. That's how Hitler described the Wagner memoirs. His own Catholic membership, that is documented by Albert Speer. The church militant, Hitler defends the church militant and militant Christianity in the Platterhof in 1944. That speech is in Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. His idea of a single Christian German faith and accompanying Reich Church. Really, the only qualm Hitler had with institutional religion, institutional Christianity, was that the faiths would not come together. And Hitler's biggest thing was unity. Unity at all costs. So his ultimate goal was to unite the two faiths again. There will be no more Protestant-Catholic division, because the division is a farce anyway. We're all the same people here. And then, of course, he defended faith against atheism repeatedly. And this is in the Wagner and Bormann memoirs both. He defended faith over science. That's in the Wagner memoirs. He defended Christianity against the Bolshevism that had infiltrated and subverted it. A really good book. It's a dialogue between Hitler and Dietrich Eckart. It's called Bolshevism from Moses to Lenin.
Oh, Hitler, yes, I have that. Mm-hmm.
Hitler and Eckart hash out why many people today, because, you know, we saw the same thing then, think that Christianity is just another Judaic cult designed to control and destroy Aryans. That's only if you do not see it like Hitler saw it and like Eckart saw it. They saw St. Paul as not a genuine Christian who had subverted the true Christianity of Christ, which was meant to destroy what Paul was erecting. So this is really important, and the Nazis specifically referred to this as Pauline Christianity, and it was to be purged from the Christian ideology and doctrine. So that's something one will get from reading that book. And also The Holy Reich by Richard Steigmengal. And this man is Jewish, but a very, very good book. His bias is basically Christianity and National Socialism were evil together. So that's kind of where he goes. But he offers some real great research. So Hitler also defends Christianity and Christians against Roosevelt. And he says, you know, all the Christians in America should rise up against that scoundrel that's just using Christianity. Now, why would Hitler do that if he didn't care about Christianity? He didn't like the fact that Roosevelt was using it as a tool to get people patriotic about the war against evil Hitler. And then, of course, he defended the church against Martin Bormann. And this is in the Heinrich Hoffmann memoirs. And fortunately, those are republished. They're back in print. It's called Hitler Was My Friend. His memoirs are awesome. And he has just really great anecdotal tales to tell over and over again. So that comes highly recommended. Just some of the things that Hitler said to Hoffmann in this regard. He told him, take your son to a religious school. The convents are still the best as an educational system. I suggest the convent of Simbach on the Inn across from Braunau. It was very famous in my youth. So here we have Hitler telling his personal photographer and what we would consider a person we'd consider his a genuine friend of Hitler's take your kid to a convent. You don't take them to a secular school, certainly not an Adolf Hitler school. That's interesting, you know, very interesting, I think, in revealing of what he really thought. Again, he tells Hoffman, give the convent one of your paintings as a gift. He told him that before they departed. So Hitler said, yeah, give him one of your paintings. That would be a nice gift for the convent. So, you know, this idea of Hitler going around tearing down churches and terrorizing them is absolute nonsense. He was endorsing them right here. And Hoffman said of Hitler, many members of the church felt great respect for Hitler. He went to the Rhineland Monastery, the Maria Lach, and had a long confidential conversation with the prior. The prior of the Monastery of Benz had frequent and instructive conversations with Hitler. So here we have Hoffman telling us, look, he met with these religious authorities. They came to him, had these long private conversations, not indicative of a man who hates Christianity, let alone Catholicism. Right. So what was said, unfortunately, we'll probably never know.
Well,
I don't know if some of these people wrote memoirs or not, some of these priors and stuff.
That's very interesting, because there was a book, I can't remember the person that wrote it. I had a copy of it at one point in time, and it was, I think it was called Hitler's Pope, and basically was an anti-Catholic, anti-Hitler book.
Oh, okay.
And are you familiar with that book?
Yeah, I think it's written by a Jewish individual.
Yes, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
It's simple.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, you can continue.
There was the German soldiers wore belt buckles that were inscribed with the following, Gott mit uns, which means God is with us. And frequently they were sprinkled with holy water by the priests. So...
Right.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes. And there are numerous accounts of soldiers at the front writing about celebrating Christmas, celebrating Christian holidays, you know, with their priests. There were priests in the SS. In fact, the majority of the SS, 40%, in spite of what we're told by people like Goodrich Clark, were Catholic. That's almost half. So, you know, that's not most of the Protestants went to the SA, but the ones who were in, I mean, there were also Protestants in the SS. They just weren't, you know, the vast majority. The greatest minority were, in fact, the occultists. Himmler was mostly the one that was into that. And, you know, Hitler didn't really care. He's like, Himmler can have his little fantasy and his obsession with, you know, culture in a clay jar kind of a thing. I see it as a regression back to mysticism. So Hitler did not support that. And that is repeated in numerous accounts of different
right.
people. So this isn't something that just one person said. This is across the board. But Hitler was tolerant. He was tolerant of it. He didn't persecute it. He let it go. He let it fly. So that's why people try to go, oh, that horrible Hitler, he let occultists take over. No. He was the true democratic type of leader who let certain followers do those things because he was trying to win the majority. He wasn't going to oust Himmler, who did all that he did. Probably the greatest, one of the greatest organizers in modern history. I mean, Himmler really almost single-handedly created the SS and what it became. So that man was just, it did an incredible job. Just incredible. Hitler was not going to throw him out simply because he had occult beliefs. So,
right.
You know, it doesn't mean that the NSDP or the Third Reich was occult.
Right. And also, he outlawed Freemasonry, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if one had been a Freemason, very few exceptions to this rule, very few. If one had been a Freemason, one could not become an NSDAP member. Not to say they couldn't work with the party, but they could not become a member. And Hermann Göring had almost become a member of the Freemasons. And he said, it's a lucky thing I didn't, you know, because I wouldn't be a member. I wouldn't be here today. And he said that at Nuremberg to his interrogator. So Yes, that was outlawed, and Hitler actually declared a secret war against Freemasonry. And that's one of the reasons we know so much about Freemasonry, is all their material was published by the NSDAP and exposed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know there's a good movie about it that's in German with subtitles. You know, it's kind of interesting. You brought up Roosevelt. And during that period, the 1930s, there were a lot of people in this country who were Nazi sympathizers, and they were supportive. And it's very interesting that the mafia and their thugs were always seeming to crash those meetings where Nazi sympathizers in this country were meeting. They would crash those meetings and do a lot of bodily harm, from what I understand.
Exactly. And so you kind of go, well, gee, who were they affiliated with? I mean, it really is pretty obvious. Yeah, there is a secret order. I published it in the Hyenas. It was given to Rosenberg was in charge of it. Alfred Rosenberg was in charge of kind of the persecution, if you will, of the Freemasons throughout Europe. But it was given to a certain general. I don't remember exactly who. But, yeah, there was a secret declaration of war against them. So, yeah, this is very important. And I'm sure that Hitler's Catholicism played a role in it. It was certainly a factor in his anti-Freemasonry.
Oh,
but
yes.
Also the fact that Jews were affiliated with Freemasonry. Hitler affiliated three things together: Jews, atheism, and Freemasonry. I mean, also Bolshevism, of course, but those three things always, like atheism, Judaism, and Jews, and Freemasonry. And I guess we'll just throw Bolshevism in there. Four things. Those things just kind of went together. So all of those things had a negative connotation for Hitler.
Right.
And
go ahead.
Most of those things also have a negative connotation to most Catholics.
Right. And, of course, a lot of popes have come out against Freemasonry and have said that one cannot be a Catholic, a good Catholic, and be a Freemason. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of organizations that were created with a Freemasonic foundation. And we're talking about such things as the Rotary Club and a lot of different clubs. We're talking about the YMCA, which has a Masonic foundation. And one of the popes, I don't remember which one, said, you know, those really, you should not be affiliated with those organizations. And one would not, you know, and then there's also the Odd Fellows, which Woodrow Wilson was a member of the Odd Fellows. And so you have all of this Freemason kind of connection. And then you look at what they did to promote, you know, world governance and whatnot, and you think, that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Basically, Freemasonry began as a rejection of the Catholic order. And so there's, to this day, a rivalry between the two worldviews. And, I mean, I would say that Catholicism's power is broken completely. This idea that Jesuits were in cahoots with the NSDAP, well, to an extent, certainly. But there wasn't some big worldwide global conspiracy that they were spearheading. They were merely working together to preserve a certain order against a Jewish-English order, which was Freemasonry. And also, I'd say France, too. You got to throw France into the Freemasonic arena.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that really is the Republic of Rothschild. That's initially how it started out.
Right, with French Revolution and Freemasonry's participation in that. You know, I often get emails from people and say, oh, it's all the Catholic Church. The Jews have nothing whatsoever to do with it. It's the Catholic Church that is behind everything. And you think, okay, let's see. Do they have a lobby in Washington? Do they own Hollywood? Do they run the press? Do they run the banks? Do they collect usury? Tell me, how is the Catholic Church the culprit behind all of the problems that we suffer in this country and throughout the world? And then when you look at all of the rabbis who have been accused of pedophilia, and we don't hear about it, of course, because it isn't mentioned anywhere in the mainstream media. But every time that a Catholic priest allegedly commits some kind of a crime, and it's usually after the guy's dead that somebody comes forward and makes the accusation, and then the Catholic Church has to sell property in order to pay them off. And so I think, I don't think it's a Catholic Church.
I agree.
All righty, we are going to be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Our guest today has been Veronica Clark, and her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. And, I was thinking during the break about the many, many myths that have been established and have been repeated because of certain books that have been published since the end of World War II. And even the incident, the so-called false flag incident at Gleiwitz. You know, that was established through torture at Nuremberg. And then we brought up the book about the Hitler's Pope. And that was published in 1999. And when you think about the false claim that it's all the Catholic Church, and so somebody comes along, a fellow by the name of John Cornwell, and writes a book that kind of says, well, yeah, you know, that this might have been this, you know, maybe this was true and that they were working together. And so if you want to associate any group of people and you want to give them a bad name, like the Arabs, all you have to do is say Hitler, associate mm-hmm. them with Hitler, and which is basically what they did with many of the people in the Middle East. You know, all you have to do uh-huh. is mention Palestinian and Hitler in the same sentence, and then it makes out, you know, then a lot of people in this country will say, oh, well, those Palestinians, boy, weren't they bad? Aren't they bad?
Right.
And it is amazing how that has been exploited.
There's a really interesting quote that relates directly to that from Albert Speer. This is inside the Third Reich. I'll just read it because it's right on there. Hitler must already have realized the immense drama that his life was, the high stakes he was playing for, by the time he had a long conversation with Cardinal Faulhaber at Obersalzburg in November 1936. Afterward, Hitler sat alone with me in the bay window of the dining room while the twilight fell. For a long time, he looked out the window in silence. Then he said pensively, there are two possibilities for me, to win through with all my plans or to fail. If I win, I shall be one of the greatest men in history. If I fail, I shall be condemned, despised, and damned. And he failed. And he is condemned, despised, and damned. Now, how did he know that?
Yeah, interesting.
And there's some strange things about Hitler. He had kind of a prophetic sense of how things were going to be.
Yes, it's interesting. John F. Kennedy said that he would be looked at in time as a great man.
Mm-hmm. And enough time has to pass, apparently. And people need to see what we fought and died for. What it really is that we fought and died for, to see that there was another possibility that we probably should have given much more of a chance.
Exactly.
Because I don't think many World War II survivors today would fight for the America we have inherited.
Oh, heavens no.
I sure wouldn't.
No.
I gotta say, I wouldn't fight for this country. And the thing is, the majority of our troops are fighting for a GI Bill or for a job.
Yes, because they couldn't get a job and just join the service.
Right. That's terrible.
Terrible. Well, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Have a frog.
Thank you.
All righty. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, listeners.